Welcome to Happy Talk with Michelle Happy. Utilizing Buddhist principles, Michelle specializes in the treatment of addiction and codependency. Her guests include actors, comedians, authors, politicians, and folks just like you. Welcome to Happy Talk.
Today we are not going to be talking about any disorders, but we do have an interesting show with us today. We have Sarah Jones. She is a surrogate. And Sarah, I wanted to ask you to sort of define that from your own point of view, not necessarily from a cultural point of view, but what is surrogacy?
Well, it was giving a child to a family that couldn't have one unless I carried the babies for them.
So how did the first time you heard about this, when was the first time?
I heard about it was on Friends, like when Phoebe was the surrogate for her brother, right?
Oh, and she had the I never watched
which
the
was
show,
just like a that's not why I did it, but that's the first time I heard about it.
The time, did you think, wow, that is cool?
Or I didn't even know that you could do something like that.
Okay.
You know, filed away in my brain and didn't really think about that again until after I had my first daughter and I really wanted to be pregnant again. But I didn't want a baby because I had a baby, but I enjoyed being pregnant so much that I was...
You enjoyed being pregnant. Mm-hmm. Now, for you men out there, and most of you women, that is a very strange statement. So, I've been pregnant and carried full term one time, and it was the most miserable time.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was no fun. The second 3 months were fun.
Uh-huh.
But the first, I just was nauseous. And the last, I was sort of beached whale. So, but that was...
I liked it. I don't know. With my daughter, everything went really easy with my daughter. I was young. I was only 21.
Uh-huh.
I can tell now that it makes a difference when you're young.
Yes.
But 10 years later, I'm pregnant now, and it's
right.
A lot harder.
Uh-huh.
But I still enjoy it. But after she was born, it was like, oh, I want to do that again.
So you had, it was an urge. It was like the same kind of need that a woman gets when she decides to want to have her own baby.
Yeah, it was almost exactly like that.
So, on Buddhist terms, I just wonder if that was some karmic setup.
Yes, I think that I was meant to do it.
So
I could see how that it would. Yeah, I was supposed to.
So, okay, so you you thought, wow, I want to have another baby, but I don't need another baby.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what happened?
I just went online and typed in surrogacy and looked at the websites that popped up, and there was this one. It was surromomsonline.com or something, and they had classifieds, and that's what I started looking through. I went to other websites that had, they were agencies where you could sign up with them, and they would match you with the couple. The couple would have to pay a fee to the agency, then they'd have to pay me, and the agency would do all of the legwork. But it was really expensive for couples to do it that way.
Uh-huh.
So then I just went through the classifieds and started answering and found a couple that...
Okay, so you found a couple. They approached you. Did you meet with them?
Yes, they lived in Colorado. They still live in Colorado. We started talking through email first and then on the phone, and then they flew me out to Colorado to meet them.
Uh-huh.
And we decided that they wanted me to carry their baby, and I liked them, so I wanted to carry the baby for them.
Uh-huh.
And so I came back to Carson and waited until my cycle was lined up to where the doctor wanted me to start taking shots, and I did.
Wait a minute. You took, when you say taking shots.
Oh, I had to take estrogen shots and progesterone shots to get myself ready, to make myself, my body believe that I was getting pregnant, but not at the, because I haven't ever had to explain this.
Yeah. Take your time.
No, let's see.
You're talking to people who have no idea.
Yeah, and I don't really know what was going on either. I was just kind of like, they gave me a schedule, a calendar, and said, okay, when you start bleeding on, I think it was like when my period started or whatever, when I was supposed to start taking birth control pills. Then at a certain point in the birth control pills, I was supposed to start injecting myself with estrogen.
Interesting. Then, yeah. So they don't just go on the natch and you, they want to make sure you're fertile.
Yes.
And receptive.
Yes. And most women who are going through this procedure are not fertile. So it's, that's why.
That's right. That's right. So this really,
it gives the doctor a lot of control.
Yeah. Yes. So it pretty much guarantees that you're going to be fertile because you don't have trouble with fertility.
Right.
So you're going through the same regimen that somebody would go through. Oh, that is rich.
See, and I didn't know this. And I believe there are doctors out there that will go with a woman's cycle and do it more naturally. I wasn't with one of those doctors and wasn't aware of anything like that at the time. I wasn't into natural stuff at that time. Now I would be looking for a more natural way to do it. But. So, yeah. So then I, after a certain point, I would start taking progesterone. That was not a fun one. It was in peanut oil or some, it could be olive oil, whatever. They would add the progesterone in and I'd have to take it up in this syringe that was, oh my gosh, you would faint to see how big it was.
You and you would inject it?
Oh yeah, I was injecting myself.
You injected olive oil into your...
Or it was peanut oil that mine was in because I wasn't allergic to peanuts. But
and because this is an oil-based sort of hormone?
I guess so, yes.
Very interesting.
And then I would inject it right in my tush
with
this big, long needle that wasn't as wide. I would have to pull it up with one needle that was... The hole was very thick.
Right.
It gave me a heart attack the first time I saw it because I was like, I have to put that where? Then I realized, oh, there's another needle that you actually inject yourself with, but it's a nice long needle. I had a sore tush for a long time.
And did the progesterone affect you in any way?
It made me feel like I was pregnant.
Okay. And how about when you took the estrogen? How did that make you?
I don't remember it affecting me.
Okay.
Too much.
No effect whatsoever. No,
not that I remember.
Okay.
So it's been a while. It's been a while. The first set of twins that I had are.
You had twins?
Old, two sets of twins. Both times I was a surrogate, I had twins.
Oh my gosh. See, I didn't know this. See, this is going to be fun. And Chris, if you have any questions, just jump right in. Chris is a producer of the show. You're here, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And also, I should announce here before we go on that we have a comment thread, a blog that you can go to if you want to ask questions over the internet. I don't even have my phone with me, so I guess we're not going to take calls. So you can go to BlueRootsRadio.com, and there will be a link at the top of the page on the right that will take you right to the Happy Talk section of the blog, and then you can make comments or ask questions or ask me how crazy I am, or ask Sarah how crazy she is. So we'll just do it through that because I don't have my phone. Okay, so you take the progesterone, you start feeling like you're pregnant, which I guess makes you receptive to the egg.
Right. And I can't remember what point in the cycle. Like I said, the boys will be 7 this month. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
I did all this. But, okay. At some point during that cycle, I was flown to Colorado so that I could be there for the transfer because they have to take the eggs. They used an egg donor.
You did not have sex.
No, I did not have sex.
It was
although
a kidding
that is
question.
A common question. It is. You think that that's ridiculous. You're looking at me like
that's
the most
I was making a joke.
But people do ask me that question, and they're serious. So if you haven't really thought about what
about
surrogacy is,
turkey basters.
And there's two different kinds of surrogates. I was a gestational surrogate, which means there was no DNA attached to me whatsoever. Then there's a traditional surrogate who uses her own egg, but then the sperm of the father. So she's like the egg donor and the surrogate, because sometimes there's egg donors.
Okay, so in that type, you give your egg, mm-hmm. and they fertilize in a test tube? Mm.
No, most of the time they do it more traditional way where they inject the sperm inside of you while you're ovulating.
Okay.
And then you get pregnant that way. Just like artificial insemination.
But that's not what you did?
No.
Yes, okay, explain, because that's what I was picturing in my head.
Okay, so usually the mother of the couple that you're being a surrogate for, that the mother will give her eggs, and the father will give the sperm, and they make a little embryos,
yes,
you know, in their little petri dish.
Right.
And then when they're, like, sometimes 3 days old, sometimes 5 days old, it depends on the doctor and how the embryos are, they're transferred into.
Uh-huh.
But our situation, the mother was older. She couldn't use her own eggs, so we also had an egg donor. And so they took eggs from
Did not use your eggs?
No, no. I wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Oh, that, okay, that is very interesting. So tell me why you wouldn't be comfortable with that.
Because it would be my child.
Uh-huh.
But this, when I was doing it this way, that's not my child. It's just a bun in my oven.
So. That's right. So it made it easier for you mm-hmm. to not, like, bond
right.
the way you would if it was your right. own genetics.
That's right. And my husband wasn't comfortable with me using my own eggs either. Because I did think about it. And if I found the right couple, maybe I thought I wouldn't mind using my own eggs, but it wasn't comfortable for him, and it really wasn't comfortable for me. So
right.
it didn't go that way.
So what kind of, we're going to have a little paragraph here. What kind of discussions did you have with your husband when you were, like, before you decided?
It wasn't really a lot. I just told him this is something I really wanted to do, and he was okay with that. He was just, as soon as I gave him the facts on what I would have to go through and how I would find a couple and, you know, what, like, that we sign a contract with the couple so mm-hmm. that I'm covered and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he's pretty easygoing. I don't
Sounds
really have
like
to,
it.
Like,
I mean,
I don't really have to talk him into a lot of stuff. He just is like, if you want to do it, then
sounds
then
like
I should
a
do it.
Pretty cool guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm very lucky.
Because I would think it would be easy for a man to get sort of jealous and weird. And
I think so, too. People that have made comments seem to think that he should have felt more jealous, or mm-hmm. he's just not that kind. No.
Again, maybe this is karmic. Mm-hmm. You know, this really, it's all the things lining up mm-hmm. for this to be able to happen. Yeah.
Women are most beautiful when they're pregnant.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment since I'm pregnant.
She's
now.
Pregnant right now.
With yes. my own child.
Yeah. Okay, so, and then I had another question in terms of money. I'm sure they paid all of your medical. Mm-hmm. And did they pay you a fee mm-hmm. for service?
Yes.
Do you feel comfortable sharing what that
sure.
was?
Sure. The okay. first time it was $17,000. And then the second time I was paid $28,000.
Wow. And so did you get, since you got paid a very good mm-hmm. amount of money, but it's for a service, mm-hmm. it's like, just what sort of went through your mind about that? Was that, did that just feel right to you?
It was nice because it helped my family out too for, to be able to afford a new car or to make a down payment on a house, mm-hmm. you know, those kinds of things mm-hmm. that helped propel our family forward also. So uh-huh. it was kind of a trade. I mean, I could have done it without any money.
Would you have
at
done
at that
it?
Point? I probably would have now. After I've been through it twice, I would not advise doing it for no compensation.
Yeah,
you deserve to be compensated.
Well, yeah. It, you know, it's a cleaner deal. Yes. It's like what I always say about my work. I've been listening to people's problems since I was five.
Right.
I remember being really interested in mm-hmm. hearing about people and what made them tick. And I was codependent until the day I started charging for it. And then it became yeah. a clean exchange. And so I don't, it enables me to feel like when my client leaves the office, they're gone
right.
and I'm on to the next thing.
Right.
It enables a certain amount of detachment.
Right.
So I imagine it probably helped you with that
yeah.
too.
Yeah. It really did. I didn't really think about it so much.
Uh-huh.
When I look back now, it's like, my gosh, I'm glad it all worked out, because I was just like, I'm going to go do this. And then I went, and, you know, within a matter of months, I was pregnant for another couple. So it was like, yeah, I didn't really. I just wanted to be pregnant again.
Okay. And so really.
Could I say something?
Yes.
If you break it down by the hour, I think you got gypped.
I did.
Because, I mean, you're pregnant 24 hours a day for nine months.
Believe me, I've thought about that.
If you do it again, let me be your agent.
Yeah.
15%. No, I wouldn't do that. I'll go back to my corner now.
It's definitely a manufacturing job of the best kind.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to they inject you with this egg, this fertilized.
The first time they put two embryos in, they were 5 days old. They were called blastocysts,
yes.
So they put two of them in. They were perfect, whatever, I think, like, they give grade A and however many cells they're supposed to have. At that time, they were both perfect.
Mm-hmm.
They both took. So I had twins. The parents didn't really want twins. They didn't want boys either, but they got twin boys.
Well,
it was this I guess was that's a big, huge lesson in control for the mother. Like, huge, because she was.
I want to hear more about that. Okay, tell me about the mom. And you don't have to tell her we're doing this. So
no, I don't. I haven't spoken to them for years.
Okay.
This was definitely a business transaction mm-hmm. for this couple.
Mm-hmm.
She just was older.
How old was she?
She was 50. So she was old for as
I would say,
terms.
And she was crazy. Yeah. To have.
Well, she never had children, and she really, she finally found the man that she wanted to settle down with, and they'd been married for a few years, and they tried to get her pregnant, and it just didn't work, and she didn't want to adopt, so they did this.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
And so when when her boys go into puberty, she is 65, 63, and going, you know, I mean, well past menopause for most women, not me, but for most women. So that's kind of crazy in a way, but that's not a judgment for you, Meg.
No, it wasn't. And I could imagine myself never having children at that age and then feeling desperate to feel that love and to have a child. Just having one, mm-hmm. I could understand how she felt the way she did. And it's not, that's her thing, you know. She wanted to have babies, so. And so she needed that lesson in control.
It'll keep her young.
What's that, Chris?
It'll keep her young, having teenagers at that age, I guarantee you.
Spirited, you know, she wasn't
Well, she's at the age, she's at beginning the grandma years
at
that age. And I'm a grandma, and I love being a grandma, but I also am really glad that it's only part-time.
Yeah, so. I think she did have help. She had help during the night and stuff like that for months the boys came home.
Uh-huh.
She's not the same kind of mom that I would be, but the mom just the same. So that's, you know,
it's her business.
She wanted to do, yeah.
Right. So tell me more about what her control, what were some of the ways
she really wanted to control how I ate.
Oh.
It was hard. Because I was so glad they lived in Colorado. Because the other couple I did it for, they live in Lake Tahoe, so they were a lot closer. And I'm glad they weren't as controlling, because that would be hard.
Yeah, and we will get to that story in a minute.
But, she wanted to control how much fat I was eating, what type of food. And she was not, she wanted me to eat, like, no low fat foods or no fat foods while I'm pregnant with twins she wants me to gain 60 pounds. It was really like, I had to start telling her that I was eating different things than I was.
So you did.
Which is terrible, but I had to make it. Just,
it's not. So let me just say as a parent, the more controlling you are of your child, the more likely you are to get lied to and rebelled against. And this wasn't a parent-child thing, but in a way it was, because you were the surrogate for the child. But the pushier and more controlling the person is, the more dishonesty is. Totally. You have to be dishonest, because you don't have to take that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. Yes,
it was. They were an interesting couple of days. She wanted to control what I ate. It was hard for me because she's not the one that's pregnant. When you're pregnant with your own child, you are in control of everything that goes into its body, yes. Everything that you're doing to your body. You're in control of that. She had to let that go. So I was trying to give her as much of it as she could have without really controlling me.
Right.
But it was hard because she wanted to really control it.
So she call you every day?
They didn't call every day. They called the doctor a lot. They had me sign a form that they could call the doctor and get all the information from my appointments without me having to okay it every time. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with that at first, but then I realized that it kind of turned into a problem. When we were going to bring my daughter to Sacramento to see the Wiggles, and I had bought the tickets and everything, and it was I wasn't very far into the pregnancy, and I figured it was the doctor had said it was okay. And I told them, I'm carrying their babies, you know, they are calling to check on me. I didn't think I should hide anything from them at the point. And they called the doctor and had her call, you know, then it turned into, nope, you can't go on this trip. The doctor's saying you can't go.
To Sacramento?
And, yeah, it was like,
for our audience's sake, that's like a 2-hour drive. Yeah. It's a 2-hour drive.
Yeah, I wasn't even getting on a plane or anything.
Was it in the winter?
No.
Because it's a 2-hour drive over the Sierras. So in the winter, it can be dicey. But
yeah. No.
So she was freaked out.
Yeah.
A lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow.
So I didn't go on that trip. They reimbursed me for the tickets that I had paid for. And that was that. And then I pretty much just didn't tell them anything anymore. And then at the whatever was at the doctor's appointments, of course I would tell them anyway. So that didn't bother me. And I just didn't plan any trips. And we just kind of, they at some point sensed that I wasn't thrilled with how they were treating me. Or it was just the wife. The husband was,
he was fine.
He was fine. Uh-huh. But she called and had a talk with me and let me know that I should let her know when I was upset with how she was treating me. But it was still hard to, you know, she wanted me to she wanted me to be a different type of person than I was.
To be who you were not.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a passive, I mean, you're,
right.
Any woman who would decide to be a surrogate has got to have some formidable will,
right.
I would think.
Yeah.
So. And you know, the other interesting thing about that, when a woman is pregnant, I think it's really important to have things as stress-free as possible, because under stress we get all those corticoids,
right.
And those pass through, mm-hmm. don't they? And so the baby gets that can affect things, I don't know what, but developmentally.
Right.
So she probably was powerless over her fear.
Right.
Even though she knew all that to be true. Excuse me. So, how old was your daughter when you got pregnant?
Let's see. She was 16 months old.
Were you nursing?
That's a whole
separate
thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I planned on nursing my daughter, my first daughter. She was tongue-tied. I had no idea what that was at the time.
Like I don't know what that is.
The little frenulum, that little thing underneath. Yeah, that is short, too short. So then her tongue doesn't come out all the way.
Oh.
But I had no idea. And so that affects nursing.
That's right, because
they
need
their tongue
is how they get their suction.
Right. Okay, well, I wasn't informed on breastfeeding at that time. Now I could, you know, I know a lot about it, but at that time I wasn't, and I thought it was just some easy thing that you did, and it was painful and it wasn't easy, and I tried to get help, but I wasn't really getting the right kind of help. Nobody mentioned tongue tie or that we could just snip this little thing underneath her tongue and it would be nothing. And I nursed her for 4 weeks, and then after that it was just like I didn't have any milk. She was starving. It was painful.
Yes.
I was stressed out every time she would come, you know, latch on, so then she was stressed out, and it was like, we just went to formula, she sucked it right down, started gaining weight. That's how it went.
Okay.
It's my one
interest.
I didn't know. That's the only thing I would go back and change is
live and learn.
But that's it. Yeah, now my now 3.5-year-old nursed until she was three, almost 3.5, so Yeah, I figured it out by the second one.
Yes, I nursed the man out there for 3 years also.
Yeah.
It's nice when you nurse that long because you can, I just said, honey, I think we're done with this, so let's just cuddle instead. Yeah. And he was like, okay, Mom, because he was like, okay, this one's empty, other side. You know, yeah. It's a complete conversation.
I think she weaned because I got pregnant, because I think she would still be nursing a lot if he hadn't. She was a, you know, 10, 12 time a day nurser, even until I got pregnant. Yeah, uh-huh. She's just, that was her, you know, and I was okay with that.
And that was the second surrogate pregnancy or two?
No, this one that I'm pregnant
Oh,
with.
This pregnancy. Yeah,
I did the two surrogacies in between my daughters.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now, we are back to you being pregnant. Mm-hmm. We've learned about the control issues that the contract mother mm-hmm. had. So, what else is notable about the pregnancy?
Not much about the pregnancy. The birth was, let's see, nothing with the parents. They were fine. They kind of wanted me to be induced a little bit so they could be there. Uh-huh. At the birth, but it ended up being that my blood pressure was going up anyways, and
so you had some.
Just
did you have preeclampsia?
No, I've never really had that. I think it was just more like your blood pressure goes up naturally at the yeah. end of pregnancy, but right. doctors tend to be a little more scared about that than I think they should be. But right. It ended up being that I was induced at 36 weeks.
And the normal term is
42 weeks. But with twins, it's more like 38 weeks.
Right.
They were very healthy when they were born. Like 5 pounds, 11 ounces, and 6 pounds, 1 ounce.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
you are natural.
Ready, they were ready, I think, to...
And so you must have been gigantic.
I wasn't too... I gained about 40 pounds, and I was, you know... larger than I had gotten with my daughter. That was one of the reasons why I didn't mind getting pregnant again, too, was I snapped right back to my pre-pregnancy size after my daughter, uh-huh. not after having twins.
It was different.
Yeah, it was a lot different. I didn't gain a huge amount of weight, but I got bigger. You know, I had uh-huh. 11 pounds of baby inside of me.
Yeah.
Plus two placentas and all that blood and, you know, all that stuff. So I did get,
sure.
I did get bigger. Uh-huh. But
and you had a natural.
I did. They were well. I was induced, but they were both born vaginally.
Uh huh.
But right after the second one was born, the OB was a little impatient. So she tugged my placenta out.
Not a good idea.
No, not a good idea.
That causes hemorrhaging.
That's exactly what I did. I lost 3/4 of my blood supply.
Oh, my God!
With my husband standing right next to me watching it just drain out of me.
I was assisting somebody who that happened to. That was the scariest thing because she had the baby, and she's all happy and cool with the baby. And I look down. I'm standing to her mm-hmm. side. I look down, and it's as if somebody took a pitcher of blood and just poured it yes. on the floor. And so then the doctor, you know, this is an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. So the doctor is telling me to massage mm-hmm. her uterus, and I'm getting ready to pass out. And it had been all night anyway.
Right.
I mean, it's very frightening. Mm-hmm. So what did they do at that point?
Well, okay, so the babies were born. I just remember they brought the second baby over to me, and I was like, you know, oh, what a cute baby. Yay, yay, yay. He's well. And then all of a sudden it was like, I feel really tired. I need to go to sleep or uh-huh. I don't feel right. I just remember like I shaking my head and just laying there. And so then the doctor was like, okay, let's see what's going on. And I didn't know that any part of the placenta had been left in, but that's what happened. And so she was trying to get it out. Well, I had an epidural, but for some reason it wasn't working in the spot where she needed to come in and get
so
it. So it was very painful. And it wasn't the kind of pain where I could just let her do it. It was too painful. So they were waiting for an anesthesiologist, and that's when I lost all of my blood. Well, my husband, he always talks about, it was like a scene from Hellraiser. There was just blood everywhere, and you could see like the line going down through my face of where I was a normal color and then turning this pale, pale, pale color. And I don't really remember a lot of it. I just remember feeling like, I wanted to go to sleep.
Well, you probably did pass out.
Probably.
Right?
I don't know. I was conscious for most of it, but yeah, I could have passed out. And then the anesthesiologist came and gave me a little boost or something, and she was able to go in and scrape out the pieces that she left in. Mm-hmm. That, and we were thanking her. Thank you for saving my life.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. Until later.
Yeah.
And then you think about it later, and you're like, oh, no, that was wrong.
Yeah, that was so wrong. So they were telling me that's going to happen every time you have a baby now, and, mm-hmm. you know, scaring me.
They said that would happen every time?
Yeah, because they didn't say it was her fault or that it was because they pulled the placenta out. It was something was wrong with me that made me retain my placenta, and it would happen every time.
So the amazing part of the story, folks, is that after Sarah had this experience, she decided to do it again.
Yeah.
So that is some will you have, isn't it? I mean, I had a tough birth and delivery with Wes. It was like 42 hours. And that's why he is an only child. But it didn't do that to you.
No, it didn't.
Okay, so go on.
Let me just say this, Sarah.
This is so much more interesting than I thought it would be.
Oh, good.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know why I decided to do it again. Something just, I wanted to be pregnant again, but we still weren't ready to have a child. I was, at some point thought we were only going to have one child, and it wasn't because I didn't want to be pregnant or go through labor again. It was just, we really enjoyed having our one child.
Right.
We're enjoying our daughter. So I decided to do it again. I kind of, maybe I wanted to heal myself from the first time.
But it wasn't, we need the money.
No,
to do
oh
it
no,
again.
No,
not at all.
Never.
I had to ask.
Never for that. That's fine. It's okay. But no, never, it was never for money. Now I wouldn't do it for the money, but if I was doing it, I would be asking a lot more than that. God. I guess I just wanted to do it again. So I started looking at the same place, classifieds again, and I ended up meeting a couple that lives up at Lake Tahoe. He's a famous photographer. His name is JT Revise. If you go into like the Hilton? Is there a Hilton up there?
I don't know.
It's not Harrah's. It's the other one with the H. It's not Harrah's.
And it's not
the one across the street from it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can't remember.
Harvey's.
Thank you. It's Harvey's. Okay. If you go into the lobby at Harvey's, all of the pictures that are taken, they're all of Lake Tahoe, and they're all from this photographer that I
So he's a landscape photographer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Gorgeous. Pictures that you would think he would have had to computer generate, and he doesn't. He just follows the weather patterns and makes these gorgeous pictures.
Wonderful.
He has a gallery up there too. But anyways, that was an issue because they didn't want me to tell anybody that I was having their children.
And it obviously isn't an issue anymore.
No, not anymore. Well, they don't talk. I think people know that they had them through a surrogate, but they don't know it was me. And it's funny because their nanny is the wife of my dad's coworker because he's a firefighter up at the lake.
You know, this is a small town we live in. There's not a huge population here.
No,
so.
Yeah, up at the lake. So that he's a firefighter up there. He was. He's retired now, but one of his coworkers' wives is the nanny of the, and they've never made the connection that I was the surrogate.
And you keep
they just yeah. You, it's not. They did ask me not to talk about it.
And,
yeah, and it's okay now. Like, okay. They actually had a surrogate pregnant when they contacted me to carry more babies for them. The surrogate that they had been pregnant with triplets and lost two of them at an early stage, which is common sometimes.
Yeah.
So they were expecting one little boy and wanted more than one. And they were excited for her to be having triplets because they thought we could get it all done in one shot.
Well, I don't know what people are thinking. Can you imagine?
No. Well, they almost had them because the little boy and the two little girls that I carried for them are only 11 months apart, so they almost got triplets.
Wow.
So they wanted more siblings for him. It's another older couple. She wasn't as old as the first woman. Apparently, I was destined to carry for older couples. I didn't click with any younger ones, so that's how it went. She actually had 4 children of her own.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But her husband never had children. And they found each other later, spent 10 years trying to get her pregnant. It didn't work. Then they turned to finding a surrogate.
Did you ever, and there was a question on Facebook when I was announcing this about, you know, population issues. And here you're caring babies for a couple that already has four. Right. So they're really, that's a lot of population stuff.
It is.
Did that?
Never.
Okay.
You'd press my mind.
Okay.
All right. I wasn't thinking about things like that at that time either.
But you do now.
I do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Although I'm having my third kid, so.
Right. It's, you know, it's funny. It's, I can claim I'm doing good because I only had one, but that's not the reason. Right. The reason is I did not want to go through that again. So,
yeah, I had to reconcile that I just want another baby and I have to live here with my life and go through it. And I don't want to feel like I'm regretting something because I didn't have my last child.
And how did you explain to your first daughter that this baby was going to come but not be in the house?
Well, the first time she was really young. She didn't understand at all.
Okay.
So she was just turned two after the right before the babies were born.
Uh-huh.
She just didn't really understand. There was babies in my tummy and then they just went somewhere.
And she never asked questions?
Not really, no. And then the second time she was, four when those babies were born, or just turned four after those babies were born. Mm-hmm. And she understood, like, we just explained it to her that I was giving somebody a gift.
Mama's job.
Yeah, that they couldn't, I love you so much, and I couldn't imagine not having you, and that's how these people feel. They really want somebody to love like that, so I'm helping them. Mm-hmm. And she was fine with it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's never, we talk about it, but it's not. It's not a big deal anymore. It's not a big deal in our family anymore.
Like,
it's been so long. The second set, they're five or six.
Mm-hmm.
Five. So it's been a long time since we've even really kind of talked about the surrogate babies at all. Because then I had Lainey, and so then she was my last pregnancy. So that's what Emily remembers the most is her sister. Because Emily was there. I had Lainey at home.
Uh-huh. So you had a home birth.
Which the second surrogacy led me to having a home birth.
Explain that.
Well, everything was fine with the pregnancy, but the doctors that I had that time didn't believe that I should deliver the twins vaginally.
Oh, no.
And so I went into labor on my own with those twins. My water broke. I was like 36 weeks exactly. I had to go to Washoe Medical Center. It's renowned now, but it was Washoe Medical
Center. Which is a county facility.
Yeah. And I was seeing a perinatologist there. I was seeing a perinatologist at Washoe Medical Center, and I had Dr. Shanahan in Gardnerville, who would have delivered me if I had gone a little bit later at Barton Memorial.
Uh-huh.
But I was too early for Barton Memorial to handle, so then I went to Washoe Medical Center.
Yeah.
Well, my water broke. My contraction started. I called the perinatologist. I wish I wouldn't have. I wish I just would have gone in because she's the one who made me have a C-section.
You had a C-section?
I did.
Wow.
I went into labor. I drove myself to Washoe Medical Center in labor with my husband in the passenger seat because I think I wouldn't have been able to make it in the car if I hadn't have been in control of the driving because I didn't have to think about contractions. They weren't that bad. People look at me like, oh my God, you drove to labor. I'm like, well, it wasn't really that bad until I got out of the car. And then I thought I was going to die because I was really in labor. I got there, I was 7 centimeters dilated.
Wow.
The nurse was like, oh, she won't make you have a C-section. You've already gone so far.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, cool. Nope, she comes. No, you have to have a C-section. Now I know I should have just said, no, I don't have to have a C-section. At the time, I felt like the doctor says that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. I didn't have anybody there that was thinking differently for me. So, or, you know, coaching me a different way or, you know, hey, maybe we should, you know, talk about it. So I had a C-section. They had to wait for a blood test to come in to make sure that they could just give me the spinal instead of general anesthesia. I don't remember why. By the time they finally got the epidural in and started the C-section, the first baby was crowning. So they had to push the baby back.
This sounds insane.
It's ridiculous, right? That's why I was saying after being through this, I would never do this without being compensated because
yes, right.
I mean, I could have died, or which I knew. I went into this knowing that there was complications, but I wasn't thinking they were really going to happen.
Yeah.
Or I could have lost my uterus, or, you know, whatever. So I didn't. Everything turned out fine, but I had a C-section that I didn't want. And then in this area, you can't go have a VBAC.
A VBAC is when you have a home birth after having a C-section.
Yeah, or in hospital. VBAC is a vaginal birth after C-section.
Right.
A lot of hospitals do allow them. Ours don't. It's because of the American Academy of Gynecology, or ACOG, or whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
It's CYA.
Yeah. Their guidelines are that if a woman is having a VBAC, an anesthesiologist has to be in the hospital the entire time she's in labor. Our hospitals don't have the resources to pay an anesthesiologist for all that time. So they just go for a second C-section, which isn't safer.
Uh-huh.
It's less safe to have repeat C-sections.
Is that true?
It is true.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you found a midwife who was willing to do that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All the midwives in this area will do VBACs.
Okay. And who did you use?
Well, when I first started, I was using Diane Mitchell in Reno. And she seemed a little overwhelmed with her patients, and I felt like I kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
I had like 10 weeks without care because she wasn't.
Is that the same one that Wes and Rachel used, Diane?
Maybe her last name isn't Mitchell.
It's not Mitchell.
Yeah, Diane Mitchell. She's the hypnotherapist in Gardnerville, who was also involved with the birth network in this area.
Oh, so I see.
I got them last names, which
Yes,
okay.
Diane and Rena.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I felt like I didn't really click with her, and I didn't feel like I was getting the care that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So actually what happened is she missed an appointment. She was supposed to come to my house, and she never came. And so I waited to see when she would call me. It took her 10 weeks to finally call me.
Yes, this is a familiar story.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's a very nice woman. I can't, you know, I have friends that did enjoy birthing with her.
Not so good at business.
No, I don't think so. And I think she's overwhelmed with patients.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's the only one in that area.
Right. So you found somebody
else. So I called the other two midwives, Lenny Sue and Suzanne Scott, up in Kings Beach. And Lenny Sue was taking the month of September off because she was turning 50.
Uh-huh.
And so Suzanne was the only one that could take me. And she's my best friend. I love her.
I'm so glad
that we
it was good.
Met each other. Yeah, I'm going to apprentice through her and become a midwife.
Really?
Yeah, but after my kids are bigger, because that's too much to be going on.
Well, and that's perfect. So you can stay in the birth mode without having your body involved in that way. So
I can't keep having babies forever.
Yes.
I did have to make that decision at some point. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to stop. So
I considered midwifery for a period of time until I realized I'm not so good staying up all night.
Yeah.
So I'll do this.
Yeah.
Regular hours. Yeah.
It's good.
So with the second set of twins, it was easy with the couple?
It was pretty much. They still wanted to have some form of control. Because it's not their, you know, babies.
Because they're out of control.
Right. Or it's not in their body, so yeah. But they were more in line with how I was starting to think, more natural.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of we discussed me having a home birth with those twins, but I was still coming off of the you're going to hemorrhage every time you have a baby thing, and knowing that that probably wasn't really true, but still, you know, nervous about it and wanting to have the babies in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't do that. I kind of wish I had, because I wouldn't have had the C-section, but we didn't do that. The dad was always weird. He always wanted to rub my belly so much, and it made me uncomfortable. But it was hard because they're his babies. That's the only way he can connect to them.
Well, and it's interesting too, when you're pregnant, everybody thinks that they have a right to touch your body.
Yeah.
And I always ask if it's okay. Even asking is a little pushy, you know. But it just feels like it's sort of like open area.
People do think that. they can just rub it. And with him, it's like, well, it's his baby, so I should let him rub it. I mean, there was even one time we were driving through Washoe Valley, and he's in the front seat of this minivan, their minivan, and he's driving, and I'm behind him, and he's reaching as he's driving, trying to rub my belly, and I'm like, no.
She's inching away.
Yeah, trying to get away from him. Like, can you concentrate on the road, please?
Now, did they take you to all of your appointments?
They did.
Okay.
They took me to all of my appointments.
So that they were much more in.
Yes. Oh, they took me all, to all of my appointments in Reno. My regular ones with Dr. Shanahan, I don't think they were there for all of them.
Okay.
But they drove me to Reno every time. They would take me to Wild Oats afterwards before we had Whole Foods and like grocery shop with me. Uh-huh. They brought me a nice big robe and a winter jacket, and they tried to take care of me.
Nice.
They were a good couple. I think they wanted me to be a part of their family. I didn't really want to be, but that's how they made me feel. So it was nice. Well, they still want me to come and be more involved with the girls up at Lake Tahoe too, but
really?
It's not,
yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's a good boundary to keep, you know, since, I mean, if that baby is not genetic, those babies are not. Were those also boys?
No, those were girls.
Those were two
and
girls.
Neither sets were identical.
They were both fraternal.
That surrogacy, they actually put four embryos in. Two of them were good quality and two were iffy. And so the two took. And I told them, you're going to have twins. And they didn't believe me. They were like, we'll believe it when we see it. And I was like, get ready, you're going to have twins. Then I got, then I was like, oh yeah, it's twins. And then I'm like, well, we'll wait, because they were nervous because they lost two of the triplets. So I think they thought, that could happen too. And I really, until the both girls were born, I don't think they believed that they were going to be taking two babies home. They just were always kind of like, well, we'll see. And I'm like, they're in there.
you get what you pay for,
Wow. Yeah, darn, I should have charged double. But no.
And, you know, even though this doesn't have to do with the surrogacy, I really want to know how the VBAC at home went with your daughter.
Oh, it was amazing. I'm having another baby just so that I can do it at home again.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I want the baby too, but part of it is because I really want to do it again at home. It was an amazing birth.
It's so different.
How I pictured it, which is weird because I kept telling myself, you know, you're picturing it this way, but you can't tell how birth is going to go. So you've got to be prepared for anything. It went exactly how I pictured it.
How many hours?
She was born exactly the way I thought she was going to look. It was weird. Yeah.
Neat.
In my midwife's charts, my labor lasted for 2.5 hours. It was a little bit longer than that, but she started counting from like active labor. It was only 2.5 hours.
Yeah, they did that to me too after 42 hours. On the paper, it said 3 hours of labor. I felt so ripped off.
Yeah. Mine wasn't really that much longer. I just had some, I wanted her to be born on a specific date.
September
19th. It is. International Speak Like a Pirate Day. I just was like, that would just be so cool. She was born on that day. She was 11 days late and she was born on September 19th. I'm telling you.
So you
the whole thing went, it gives me chills. I just, like, every dream I had about her, she looked exactly how she was in my dream. The birth went exactly how I wanted it to go on the day I wanted it to happen. It was like my healing birth.
And so, and you're pregnant now?
I am.
You're due, what's your due?
September 3rd.
Okay. Are you having those sort of visions?
No, I haven't even thought about the birth at all. It's crazy a little bit. I'm almost halfway through and I'm like, you really need to start thinking about it.
Well, maybe you
I'm
don't.
A little bit more busy this time with all my two girls that I have now. And it just doesn't, I'm
different.
Not thinking about as much this time.
It's what they say. Every pregnancy is different.
Yeah.
And you're how old today?
31.
You're 31. That was how old I was when I had Wes. So, and is this it, do you think?
Yes.
You're pretty sure?
So I can't.
She
never,
cannot guarantee.
But my husband would guarantee that this is the last one. So, yes, we're done unless there's some sort of like, oops. Which I kind of wouldn't mind. I've never had an oops. Emily,
she's
my first.
She wants to try everything next. She's never had an oops.
Well, I just think it would be like so much fun to be like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I'm sure at that time I'd be like, no, we don't, you know, we don't want that. It would just, I could see that happening. I don't think it will. My husband is planning on going in and having his little snip done.
He will take care of that.
I think so. Well, I don't know. He might not. He kind of leaves everything up to me, so.
And you know,
before, I might be done when the baby comes.
Before we close, I want to just learn a little bit more about your spirituality. You say that as you had these babies, you got more and more natural. So, you know, and what part did your spirituality play in this, if any? I don't even know if you have any.
I don't even really know if it did. I wouldn't have considered myself. During the time that we were trying to get pregnant with Lainey, my second daughter, mm-hmm. I was going through, like, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know if I believe, because I grew up Catholic.
Uh-huh.
And so then it was like this whole, yeah, thing. And as I, like, as an adult, I didn't go to church or anything, and I wasn't a practicing Catholic, but I just, all the things that I'd been taught that I didn't really understand because my parents didn't go to church. It was just with my great grandmother, and mm-hmm. like that was our Sunday time together because she was Italian and our whole family was Catholic. And so it wasn't really like something that I was super connected to. So then I started thinking, you know, these people are crazy, the things that they're talking about. So then I'm like, well, mm-hmm. then all religion must be like that. And then, well, there just must not be a God. So then I just went through this whole mm-hmm. thing, and my husband's like, how can you not believe in God when you look at Emily?
You know, this happens to a lot of Catholics, that particular religion is so dogmatic that a lot of people get reactionary mm-hmm. about it and do sort of have phases of atheism or non-belief or however you want to put it. So where are you today with that?
I would call myself a theist.
Uh-huh.
So I believe in a higher something, but I don't know. I don't believe in the organized religion or, uh-huh. mm-hmm. I just learned that, what theist meant. Because yes. I've been like floating around going, okay, I'm not atheist and I'm not agnostic and I'm not Christian and I'm not anything. So then what, this, I was like, oh, I really like that word. But I just believe that we're all connected to each other and to the earth and mm-hmm. That's like my extent of it. Uh-huh. What I put out there is what I get back.
So it sounds like your concept is a more sort of new physics, mm-hmm. Buddhist-y kind of,
yeah,
a...
I guess so.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you were doing the baby thing, your spirituality was not, it mm-hmm. wasn't really connected per se.
No.
It
no,
was this...
It wasn't.
Internal urge
right.
you had, like it was your destiny
right.
to do this, which I think is a pretty spiritual thing.
I do now,
but
now
it's
that
not,
I look back on it.
Yeah, it's not
the time. Yeah.
And the other thing I'm getting from talking to you is that you have learned a lot after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you've learned a lot from your experience, and now you know everything. And you probably won't do surrogacy again.
No.
But we have this show. Anybody who's interested in doing surrogacy can listen to
yeah.
this
and
learn what to do and not
right.
to do.
Oh, yeah.
And what to look for, like the control
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had no idea. I mean, I was so young. And I think about all the things that I've done. Getting married. I met my husband when I was 19. We got married when I was 21. I can't believe that we're still married and, like,
and happy.
Happy.
Yeah.
Having another kid. I mean, like, really happy. Like, most of my friends, I watch them, they're happy, but they're not happy.
Right, right.
And it's like, I can't believe that worked out for me. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I live this, like, charmed life where all these things, like, I'm not thinking them through, so that, or I do now, but at the time, a lot of big decisions that were made that weren't really, it was just like, oh, I should do this.
And so you are... You must be highly intuitive.
I think so.
Yeah, there's a test on my website you can take.
Oh, I should take it.
Yeah, my website's mhappy.com. You click on links, and there's a whole bunch of tests. You don't need to take the Asperger's test. You don't seem
don't
so autistic to me.
Might have that.
But the Myers-Briggs is the test you take.
Oh, I think I've taken that before.
Oh.
And I do get the intuitive.
You are mm-hmm. a high N.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's... Whether you're introvert, extrovert, intuitive,
right.
Sensing, feeling, thinking, and judging, perceptive.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're high intuitive.
Yeah.
It seems like that. And it seems like you have a sense of being guided. Do you believe in more than one life?
I do.
I do. How could you not?
I do.
With
I do. I
your life is gone.
I don't sit and ponder all this stuff as much as I wish that I did, but I do feel like, why would this be the only life that I'm going through?
Right. When you think about it, it seems it's kind of like, how could there not be other beings with all those stars?
Right.
It's the same kind of a concept.
Yeah.
And so are you open and willing to having people contact you if they're interested in getting into surrogacy?
Sure.
You are.
Yes, because I don't know what kind of picture I painted today, but I enjoyed being a surrogate. I did. It was a gift for me, for my family. I loved giving another family children.
Mm-hmm.
I love my children, so I couldn't imagine not having them. So I did. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I just learned a few things that, didn't think I was going to learn.
Actually, you should write a book. Write a little book.
I've been told that before.
On how to do this.
Yeah.
And how to do it right and what to watch out for. So, the control issues are important. You had no trouble with detachment. You were naturally detached.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with any of that.
Maybe you shouldn't make this decision unless you really do have a strong urge to be a surrogate, like feel really driven.
Right.
And also don't do it for the money.
No. Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
You will be very unhappy.
You will be very unhappy.
Be very unhappy.
Chris, do you have any questions? Any stuff that we didn't cover?
No, but I sure did learn a lot.
Yeah, me too. I had no idea. I didn't know. I've seen Lainey, excuse me, that's your daughter's name. I've seen Sarah at a few parties with kids and stuff, but we've never really sat down to talk before.
No.
So,
yeah, this is.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say that you, so you're not wishing, oh, shoot, I wish I would have said that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Well, I want to. Thank you so much for being here. You're great, great
thanks.
Interview.
Oh, thanks. Like I said, I can chat.
Yeah.
As long as somebody's asking me the questions.
Right,
if it
right.
was me being the leader, we'd be sitting here going.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you so
thanks
much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So we'll be back next Sunday at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. Chris, I want to thank you so much for producing this.
My pleasure. Don't forget about the podcast.
Oh, yes. Well, you want to do that?
There will be a podcast available a little bit later this evening at iTunes, or you can go to BlueRoochRadio.com and click on Happy Talk, and you can listen to it right away right there if you happen not to be an iTunes subscriber.
And we just got our logo up on the iTunes podcast. So
You are somebody now. You have made the big time, young lady.
Look for the brown and yellow happy face.
I love that happy face.
Yes, thank you. Okay, well, thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.
You've just heard episode 4 of Happy Talk with Michelle Happy. You can find Michelle at mhappy.com. The links for episodes of Happy Talk can be found at BlueRoochRadio.com, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening, and be well.